two names that are immoral, they are made famous. Syntyche and Euodias. It's the first time we hear of these two women. It's the last time we've heard of these two women. You know, isn't it a blessing to have your name carved in stone? And to be recorded for all time. Here's these two, and their names are recorded in the Bible. Now, I've got to tell you, my name's recorded in the Bible. I got a book named after me, you know that? Not many people have that privilege and all. Of course, I hope you know I'm joking there. I was named after them. But here are these ladies. I'm not sure I know of anybody whose name is Euodias and Syntyche. I know nobody that's been named that. I've met a Zacchaeus. I've met a Barnabas. I've met an Azariah. I've met a lot of people that's named after people in the Bible, but I've never seen one named Euodias or Syntyche. And I believe that there's a real reason for that, because this isn't really a compliment to them, is it? They're not getting along too well. Is that new for women? Is that uncommon for people not to get along? I know I'm in trouble already. But is it uncommon? It is something that is common. In fact, in Sunday school this morning, we saw that Paul and Barnabas had a falling out, that John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, had left them, deserted them on the first missionary journey, and they said, Paul says, we're not taking him. He's a quitter. It's just going to be more problems. He said, I don't want to have anything for him to do on this journey. And so there was an issue, and I want to hasten to add that later Paul and Mark have reconciled, and he writes, Mark's been very profitable for me. So just because there's a division and that there's a misunderstanding and that there's a problem doesn't mean that there can never be reconciliation. And we see here that these women are important women. Isn't it interesting that women are mentioned over and over in the Scriptures, that they are an integral part of the gospel and an integral part of the spread of the gospel? This morning again in Sunday school, we saw Lydia, the seller of purple, who was a part of that gospel outreach. But we see this, the value and the importance of women. Actually, Euodia means prosperous journey. I'm thinking that maybe mom and dad had a prosperous journey and had a little baby girl, and they called her Euodia. And then there was Syntyche, which means fortunate. And there's a reason why I give you their names, and you'll see that hopefully in a moment. They were a part of the church. Look at verse 3. It says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. I want you to see a couple things here. First of all, they were a part of the start of the church. They were an integral part of the church. They were there at the very beginning. Perhaps they, in fact, knew Lydia. Maybe they were a part of together. And the Philippian jailer that is there. But these women labored with Paul in the gospel. Paul loved them. Even as he addresses them specifically. He says, I beseech Euodias. He doesn't say, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche. He individually addresses them. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Syntyche. Notice how Paul addresses them. He's compassionate. He's desirous that they might be able to work this out. I think that maybe we have hints of this throughout the book. Turn back with me, if you will, to chapter 1, verse 9. He writes generally to the church, and he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He prays, the Apostle Paul prays for the people at Philippi that they would abound in love. By the way, that should be our prayer for one another. That we abound in love one for another. That we care one for another. Look at verse 27 of the same chapter. The Apostle Paul says, only let your conversation or your citizenship be as it becomes or is fitting the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. Striving together. I think Paul's working himself up to chapter 4 to talk specifically, but he's given us hints throughout the book. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then chapter 3, verse 17, he says this. He says, brethren, be ye followers together of me, work together, and follow me, and walk as we have given you an example. He has a real desire that they serve together, that they work together. He does not just write them off. You know, that's easy for us to do. If somebody does or do just exactly what we think they ought to do, we write them off. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Have you ever seen a father or mother and their child just does terrible things, perhaps gets into drug or pornography or alcohol and all, and they bring the child back into the home, and it just happens time and time and time again? Now, folks, there's an issue of enabling, and we shouldn't be enabling sin, but we see the heart of a father and a mother who continually forgives, who continually reaches out to that child. And here's the Apostle Paul. He doesn't write these women off. He seeks that they might be restored. Notice last week we looked at verse 1, which really properly belongs to chapter 3. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. And we looked at that. How do you stand fast in the Lord? Well, knowing that your citizenship is in heaven. Aren't you glad that that can't be taken away from you? Our citizenship is in those that are born again, those that have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, those that have put their faith in Christ, have a steadfast hope that is sure, that can never be removed. I can't be thrown out of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is mine because of what Jesus Christ. And so I can stand fast. We are looking for Jesus to come. Are you looking for Jesus to come this morning? Or do you want Jesus to come? Folks, now I understand there's babies to be born here. But you know what? I believe that those babies, if Jesus were to come right now, that we would see those babies in, you wouldn't have to wait the 9 months. You'd get to see them right now. I think some of you would be glad about that, right? And you say, well, how about all the things that we're looking forward to? Can I tell you this morning that heaven is beyond any of your capacity to imagine? You know, think of the happiest, oh, I did it. Think of the place on earth you would like to be here besides right here, right now. I understand everybody just, you're dying to be here this morning. But where would you like to be most and just spend a week, spend a month, spend a year? Where would that be? Can I tell you that heaven will be so far beyond that, you'll say, why would I ever want to be at that dump? Why would I ever want to be there? That's what heaven's like. And folks, we need to get in our mindset what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is going to be beyond even our fondest dreams. It says that he is going to come. That's why we can stand fast. He's going to change our lowly bodies, our decaying bodies. You know, we can't really enjoy. Yesterday, I was rejoicing. You can ask my wife. For the first time in a month, I could work. For the first time in a month, I felt good. Man, won't it feel good to feel good all the time rather than just a day or two at a time? And I know some of you young ones look at me or look at around and say, what in the world are they talking about? Believe me, it's coming. It's coming, and you will get to experience it. But believe me also that the day is coming when there will be no more pain, no more aches, no more sorrow. And it says that he's going to subdue all things to himself. There's not going to be any more wars. There's not going to be any more difficulties. God is going to take care of them all. But we see here that he addresses Euodias and Syntyche. He says, be of the same mind of the in the Lord. And so we see that if you go back to chapter 2, and we've looked at this, in verse 5 it says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is God? God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, to be born of a baby, to be born in a Virgin Mary as a baby in Bethlehem. We call that Christmas. He grew to be a man, and he never sinned. He never disobeyed his parents. He never talked back. He never thought a bad thought. And then when he became 30, he ministered, doing good, healing people, telling us of heaven and of the way to heaven. And then wicked, wicked men took and put him on a cross and took his life from him. But in reality, they didn't take it from him. He laid it down for sinners. For those very men that put him on the cross, he died that they might have eternal life. He died that so you and I can have eternal life. And so it says, let this mind be in you, the same mind that was in Jesus Christ, who gave up heaven's glories, who gave up comfort, who gave up the glories of heaven that he might bring salvation to us. And so he tells Euodias and Syntyche, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ, who humbled himself and put others before himself. These first two exhortations that I've given are given specifically to Euodias and Syntyche. But then he goes on, and look at verse 3. It says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Now you remember I gave you the what their names meant? You could translate this, and I entreat thee also, Sugus. S-U-Z-U-G-O-S. My tongue doesn't work just right on those words. It was a common person's name in that time. And so it could very well be that the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to just say Sug, okay? Sug, you help Euodias and Syntyche. You help these women who have a problem. Now, it could be that he's talking to another person when he says, true yoke fellow. It could be another person. It could be over in chapter 2, verse 25. It could be Epaphroditus, who had been a part and a companion in labor with the Apostle Paul. People that are godly, people that are helpful, people that are capable, who Euodias and Syntyche were, at times need help. Sometimes I'm afraid we become like that three-year-old that has just learned to tie their shoe, who says, I can do it myself. I don't need your help. Can I tell you this morning, whatever you think of me, I need your help. whatever you think of yourself. God has not made the family of God to be a lone ranger. God has not made the family of God to be that say, I don't need you. The book of Corinthians, Paul writes to that church and he says that the most ugly of the members of the body are necessary. And whether it be the big toe, you know, a lot of people wear sandals today. Not everybody wears sandals. You know why? Because they're ashamed of their toes. Their toes are ugly. And if truth be told, I'm going to get in lots of trouble. Everybody's toes are ugly. And most of them stink. But they're necessary. Try to live without the toes. And God has told us in His Word that we are to minister even to those parts that are ugly, those parts that are not beautiful. Everybody wants to be around the beautiful people. Everybody wants to be around the nice people. But here, Euodias and Syntyche were having struggles. They were having problems. But they were people that were important in the church. And he says, you fellow laborer, help them. And not only does he talk to Zug, or the fellow laborer, he talks to Clement. He says, Clement also, and others that are my fellow laborers. Brothers and sisters, we need help, and we need to give help. This is a group effort. In the New Testament, the word, there's a one word translated by two English words, the word one another. That word is used 100 times. The word one another. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage and build up one another. Hebrews 10:24, stimulate one another to love and good works. James chapter 5, verse 16, pray for one another. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another. You see, God calls us to minister to one another. We need one another. We need help. These ladies were at odds with one another. And one of the greatest ways that we can get help is by giving help. You say, I need help. And you know, a lot of people, when they get into a problem or difficulty, they sit down and say, help me if you can. What you ought to do is when you are in need and problem and difficulty, you say, how can I help someone else? And you'll find out that God helps you in ways that you'll never expect. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 3, that last phrase. He says, whose names are in the book of life. This morning, if you know Jesus Christ, your name is in the book of life. This morning, if your name is in the book of life, you should be encouraged. This morning, if you are in the book of life, you should know that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so, these fellow laborers, these yoke fellows, Paul says, remind them that they are in the book of life. You're in the book of life. They're in the book of life. Keep them focused on Jesus Christ. We sang the song, I run to Christ. And that's where our eyes need to be. He goes on in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Notice that he says this twice. He repeats it. And he repeats it in chapter 2, verse 18, and chapter 3, verse 1. Look back to 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord, not in our circumstances. Brothers and sisters, this morning, You can look at any number of circumstances that'll get you down. You can look at any number of circumstances that will throw you for a loop. But can I tell you, if you look at the circumstances, you're always going to be up and down and all around. Looking at Christ and rejoicing in the Lord, what He has done for you is where the satisfaction and joy comes. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I wish I could say that I'm smart, that I purposely do things. There is some purpose, but those words just keep coming back and ringing in my ears that we sang this morning. I run to Christ when chased by fear. What do you fear this morning? Yesterday there was a situation that was in my life that I was just almost petrified. You know what I did? I ran to Christ. I run to Christ when worn by life. You know, sometimes just life wears you out. You get tired of what's going on. I run to Christ when stalked by sin. And then he says, I find a refuge, sure. My soul is refreshed. Come unto me. When stalked by sin, I find a sure escape. Euodias and Syntyche, I don't know what it was, but it was something that was disrupting the whole church. And Paul says one of the answers is not only of yoke fellows coming aside and helping them, but also in rejoicing in the Lord. Notice in verse 5, it says, let your moderation, the word there, moderation, can be translated in a multitude of words, generosity, gentleness. This is a fruit of our rejoicing. Our sharing, our moderation. But I want you to notice one other thing. He says, the Lord is at hand. Now, many commentators say that this means that the Lord is coming, but he has just said that 5 verses earlier. So I don't think that's it, although that's true, and it could be true. I think more, the Lord is near. The Lord is watching. The Lord is watching. I've had the situation right in this building where a husband or wife or a child and a parent will be having a very vigorous, we'll put it, discussion. And I happen to walk through the door. And the vigorous discussion all of a sudden, and I praise God that that happens, just sort of disappears. Why? Because the pastor came through the door. Can I tell you that a greater than the pastor is here? And that is Christ himself. Now, I know what it's like to have children. I know what it's like to have disagreements with my wife. And I know what it's like to go, and you ought to, into the bedroom or someplace else and have that discussion so you don't have it in front of the children. The children don't need to know those discussions. But can I tell you, in that bedroom or in that closet or wherever you go, the Lord is near and the Lord is there and he hears and he knows. And it's a two-edged sword. The two-edged sword is the Lord is near and he's watching. So you better behave. But the other side of that sword is that the Lord is near to catch us, to calm us, the need that we have. You know, my wife is a pretty strong woman in a lot of ways. But it's amazing when the frog hops in the front door. It's like the house is going to fall down. Or there's something serious going on. It's just a little frog. He's hopping around. He deserves that too, right? And she's super glad when I'm there, when the frog hops in. Well, if that's true in such a new thing, not to her, but in life as a whole, can I tell you how much greater is it to know that the Lord is near? Euodias, Syntyche, know that the Lord's near. He's watching. Euodias, Syntyche, the Lord is near. He can provide for your need. And so this morning, as we consider what the Apostle Paul, under the Spirit of God, has given to us, can we know that there's none of us that are beyond needing help? You know, a lot of times what we like to do is hide our troubles, hide our problems, hide our needs. It's pretty obvious Euodias and Syntyche's laundry is here to be aired for all these generations. And he says, people of God, help them. People of God, know that your names are written in the book of life. People of God, rejoice in the Lord. People of God, let your generosity, let your gentleness be known among all men. As I conclude, I'm reminded that as Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, it said the Lord came and shut the lion's mouth. As the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace, it said that one like as the Son of God came and walked in their midst. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have one that is near, one that cares, one that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, one that will meet our needs. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed that he knows and is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, whether it be because of fear, whether it be because of sin, whether it be because of opposition. We pray, Lord, that we would use the methods and the means of the Word of God that you've given to us to take and to meet those fears, to meet those needs, to meet those enemies. Father, most importantly, we pray that if there's one here today that knows not Jesus Christ, who doesn't have the Lord Jesus to lean upon, doesn't have the Lord Jesus to intercede for them, we pray that you would take and change their hearts this day and cause them to reach and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too might be saved. For it's in Christ's name we pray it.